We're going to cross on over live to Beirut now to listen to Sayed Hassan Nasrallah, the Hezbollah Secretary General. Let's take a listen.
War. The U.S. has a project of hegemony in the region. Israel has a project also for hegemony, and whoever stands in the face of these of the occupation force, the Israeli occupation force, and the U.S. dictates in the region, all have to be defeated, they have to be fought. And this is what we understand from the German decision and all the what the Germans have said. They have not given any single proof of any sort of terrorist activities or any sort of, for example, terrorist activities inside Germany. Where is Hezbollah? Where does Hezbollah have activities inside Germany itself? It's not very clear.
بالحرب على حركات المقاومة واتهامها بالإرهاب وعزلها ومحاصرتها وما شابه.
Does Hezbollah have any terrorist activities? They only took out one file. What was this file? It's not clear to us what type.
مساجد وبعض مراكز الجمعية. اللبنانيون الموجودون في ألمانيا.
They went into this association, they went into its centers, they went into its headquarters. So all this decision means is that the Germans only fall under the dictates of the Israelis and the US. Some of them are saying that there are personal motives behind this decision. It's not clear, but is it within the law? There is no reason for all these details. In, this is in the first title that we have. First of all, concerning the German decision, and this is something that we expected before. There were other countries that used to differentiate between a military wing and a civilian wing. And it was expected that we have other European countries that take such a decision. This decision, as we understand it, from what we had in the past, is only an expression of succumbing of this country to the U.S. dictates, U.S. will. The U.S. State Secretary has always stressed that it's not only just Hezbollah. The first, this decision had to do with Hezbollah, but before decisions or other decisions have to do with Palestinian resistance groups and other groups inside Iraq and other countries. There's continuous follow-up, and they know that they need to blockade these groups, they need to starve these groups, and we need to freeze their assets, and we need to remove all their capabilities, and we need to defame these groups. This is only one part of the war, the U.S. war on these groups. Very simply, this is a war. The U.S. has a project for hegemony in the country. The Israelis have a project of occupation. So there's nothing left in the face of the U.S. and Israeli project are the resistance groups. And therefore, they should be defamed and they should be fought. And in this context, we have the German decision, and the Germans have so far have not given any evidence or proof of certain terrorist activities for inside Germany. They said that they froze Hezbollah's activities. Where does Hezbollah have activities inside Germany? Where does Hezbollah have terrorist activities? They have one single file, and there's nothing. There's no evidence. So therefore, this only means that there is just a plea to please Israel and to follow the dictates of the U.S. Even the foreign minister of Germany, we heard that there are personal motives behind this decision, and this will be against the Lebanese people inside Germany. and anything that is against them, they have to follow it up. And they need to be able to protect their people, and we need to follow up the procedures and measures, and that what has happened is cannot be repeated, and that they were assaulted without any proof or evidence, only so that there is a certain media report or propaganda. So therefore, the Lebanese Foreign Ministry is responsible. It's not us that need to be asked to protect the people. We have to protect the Lebanese people in Germany and outside of Germany. This is something different. The government needs to bear this responsibility. Another issue, all the foreign ministries in the world, they protect their citizens, so the foreign ministry needs to take these measures. There are several figures, many officials that have said that they respect Hezbollah and they're in solidarity with Hezbollah, and we thank them very much for this. And the last point in this issue, this is something that I said in the beginning is expected and it would not have an impact whether on our stances or on our will or on decisions. We will continue to be at the forefront in the facing the occupation, to face the Israeli greed and theft, and to face the hegemonic project of the U.S., and we will also extend our hand to all the resistance fighters, and the cause of Palestine will continue to be our main and focal point and focal cause. All these measures, whether the U.S. or the Germans, what can they do? What is the worst thing they can do? Is that they can kill us, they bombard us, and they shell us. This is what something that they have been doing for decades, and still we continue to hold on, to be steadfast, and to hold on to our rights and our duty and to this sacred cause. So when it comes to psychological warfare, this is not just something that will not lead to anything, but this will make us even more decisive and willing to continue in the same path. The second issue is the economic situation and the monetary situation. The first point is the economic plan that the government has just agreed upon. First of all, the current government has worked on a project, on a plan, which is comprehensive. It's a full-scale plan, and it has been agreed upon by most ministers in the cabinet after they have held many consultations with many groups and experts. And this is an issue that has, despite our evaluation, our own assessment, whether it's positive or negative, or we have some criticism on it, still in any case, no matter what the evaluation is, but the same fact that the government has in a very short period of time put such a comprehensive plan and this wide plan, and with the fact that everyone is busy and preoccupied with the coronavirus issue. And so this is an issue is considered a very positive point for this government. The plan is a step forward on the path of a recovery, because we know that there has to be a certain viewpoint, a certain farsightedness, and a certain plan that we need to start working on. So this is only a natural step, and this is a very big step, and it's a very good step, and we have to look at it as such. But this plan has also needs certain protection, national protection. If we, the more we have national consensus and what national acceptance and unity With this plan, this will give it more leverage, it will give it more acceptance. It would allow the parliament to make achievements in a very short period of time. And so in this context, we saw that the call of President Michel Aoun to meet with the parliamentary blocs and the present representatives of the parliamentary blocs in a few days from now to meet in the presidential palace in order to come and discuss this economic plan and listen to their thoughts. This is a very important step, and we laud this step, and we will take part in this step, and we believe that we have a positive stance towards working towards this step, and we call on all the parliamentary blocs in order to at least react positively with this step, but we also call for wider discussions. We also want a critique of this plan. We want experts. We want those people who are in the field. And at the end of the day, the government is expected to listen to all of these notes or critiques or comments on this plan. If there are very significant comments on this plan, then therefore they need to take these plans, take them into consideration and put them and amend their plan based on these comments. We're not saying nobody has said, no, not the prime minister or no other minister has said that this is a plan that is unchangeable and will not change, and they didn't come and say that this is a plan. No, they said that this is our plan and you can come and discuss this plan, debate it together and see what comments you have. And there was, of course, before they decided on it, they had so many discussions and consultations, but still discussing it more is very important. I understand that the cabinet is open to all discussions and all criticism, and so therefore this plan that we have, this needs to be followed up after it is being discussed, and there are several studies that need to take place in the parliament in order for there to be ratified, and some things need laws. So there needs to be law projects of laws inside the parliament. So this is a chance for the parliament itself to also go into more discussions, because it is their job to either accept the law projects that are presented inside the parliament or to ratify those laws. And this plan could also be something that is a basis in order for us to try to discuss things with foreign sides that perhaps want to give assistance to Lebanon. So therefore, this plan, in our perspective, is a prospect, is a viewpoint, it's a perspective that we can take a look at, that we can discuss, that we can work on and work with. What we want is that there should be scientific discussion, and because in order to save the country, we all agree that there is a very critical economic situation. Some people are saying that there will be an economic collapse and monetary collapse. So the government has come and said that this is our plan to try to safeguard the country. So despite all our differences, our political differences, and our maybe traps and fights, political fights that we have in the country, that those, let's put them aside. Let's see, for example, today, when it comes to the issue of COVID-19, how we're fighting that. Lebanon is in a good position. Why is that so? Some people are saying that because thanks to God Almighty, and of course, and after that, who could be making an effort in this regard? But there is one main reason, is that there is cooperation among all the Lebanese, whether the presidency, the officials, the parliamentarian blocs, the political parties, the people, the unions, and the tourism sites, and all the associations and institutes, they all cooperated, and there was a high level of responsibility from the people. And even the first few days when we had some negative issues, we still surpassed those, and we were dealing with the issue of COVID-19 with a humanitarian perspective, and people stood with each other and worked together in order for us to reach such a very exemplary and very good phase in the fight against corona. So can we do the same thing in the economic scale? Can we put our differences, our political differences aside and say that we have a main concern, which is the economic concern right now, and there are certain measures and procedures for us to take? Yes, this is what I'm calling for at this juncture. And the other issue when it comes to the economic issues, let me just make sure I didn't forget anything in the previous points. The second main point concerning the economic and monetary crisis, concerning the International Monetary Fund, we are not against the idea of asking for assistance from any side in the world, except for those that we have, of course, some red lines, the enemies of Lebanon. But this is something that we spoke about before, and I want to stress once more, this is when it comes to basis. This is it's acceptable that we are with that. There is, we cannot come and say that there should be conditions, that we should just blindly give our necks and to whether the International Monetary Fund or any foreign side. We do not surrender completely, and we do not refuse completely. Is logical is that the government comes and discusses issues and studies, and I understand that after the government studied this issue, they are going to go and discuss it. They didn't say that they are going to tell the International Monetary Fund to come and what we'll do whatever you want in order to get this assistance. What I know, the issue that was signed by the Prime Minister, that there will be cooperation, there will be discussions, there will be talks held in order to reach a consensus. But this plan, no one in the cabinet gave somebody a carte blanche and told them that you can just go and discuss everything and decide whatever you want. No, on the contrary, the caution that we are living today in the country is very important. We are with this caution, and everybody should be cautious and should be careful about how they take assistance and where they take assistance. So therefore, as a result, if we go to talks with the International Monetary Fund, everything should also be discussed once more in the cabinet, and they should know what are the steps that we're going to take, what are the procedures, is there an interest for the country to go for this step or not, can the country bear such conditions, for example, or not. These are all issues that we need to discuss. And so, therefore, when we come and say refuse any assistance from International Monetary Fund, no, we cannot. We cannot come and say that we know that the government will not come and give the country to the International Monetary Fund. And we know that this should be only discussed and argued, and we should come and study it. We should see what are the conditions, what are the plans put forth, what are the certain measures or procedures. There are political groups that we have in the country. We have a cabinet. We can discuss it there if we need to take it to the parliament. Also, we can take it to the cabinet and discuss it. This is something that we need to deal with a lot of caution and care. The third point that I want to talk about previously, I've never spoke about this issue in such a form. It's been perhaps a month since I've spoken any politics or about the current developments. In the last few weeks, we heard a lot of talk about two main points here that I have three and four. The first main point is the bank sector inside Lebanon, and the second issue is the currency problem inside Lebanon. First of all, in the banking sector, our position as Hezbollah, in the last few weeks, we heard a lot of talk in media, so many articles and accusations because there is a specific accusation against Hezbollah. And this is why I have to respond to these accusations. One accusation was that Hezbollah wants to destroy the banking sector. Of course, this is only just one. There are so many other statements and articles. Another accusation was that they want the downfall of the bank sector. Others said they want to take Hezbollah wants to take control of the bank sector. Another person who is unethical, they said they want to steal the bank sector. This is very unethical. This is all just talk. These are just accusations to divert attention. Because, of course, I work with military and Hezbollah. When somebody wants to launch an offensive, they have a certain psychological war in order just to cover up their offensive or even to cover up their defense. But everybody knows, a lot of people know, that the banking sector has committed so many errors and mistakes against the country. So therefore, I am not going to be defending the banking sector. I'm going to be defending and launching a certain offensive. So what they want to try to do is to have all this smoke in order to divert attention of the people and the officials, and to even try to get the assistance and help from maybe foreign sides and telling them that Hezbollah wants to destroy the banking sector in Lebanon, or they want to control the banking sector in Lebanon. So my comment on this issue specifically is that we honestly, very honestly, and this is the title of our path, it is truthfulness. So what saves us is that we are honest and faithful. We honestly do not want to destroy or take down or control, and it's unethical to steal. We don't want anything from the banking sector inside Lebanon. But even more than this, from the beginning of the foundations of Hezbollah, we never came even close to the banking sector, and we never worked with the banking sector, except in the last few, in the last era, only on three main titles. The first angle was the first coordination that we had with the banking sector was when we had certain U.S. sanctions against Hezbollah. They asked the banking sector that there are accounts for Hezbollah or officials for Hezbollah or people of Hezbollah. We understood this very much, and we were understanding of this issue, and we know that the bank sector cannot stand in the face of such pressure, because they are not fighters. It's not their ideology that they're working for God or in the name of God. For us, people give their sons for God Almighty. But of course, for the banking sector, most of them are not in that ideology, are not in that regard. So we were very understanding of this step. But we told them, don't be worse than the Americans. Don't be more American than the Americans. They asked you to close, for example, 10 accounts. You closed 20. They told you to close 5 associate accounts for associations. You closed down 50. And that continued. And we raised our voice. We told them, we understand that you need to follow up the dictates of the U.S. and follow the list of the U.S., but do not be more American than Americans or more aggressive than the U.S., than our enemy. This is one angle. We still call on them to fix this. But we say that we thank God for anything that has happened, all those accounts that they closed them, and they told them, come take your money, which are not many. We say, thank God, God saved them. They took their money from the banks, because as a result of what we're seeing right now for people who could not take their money from the banks, this is one positive point, actually. Another angle when talking about dealing with banks, in the last few and recently, they were trying to insult the people, not to give them their money. And this will, of course, lead to us calling on the banking sector to give people their right. Isn't this a right or not? If someone comes and we tell them that you are not being faithful, you're not being honest when you give the people back their money, and you are not allowing them to withdraw their funds, you are not allowing them, you're insulting them in the face of the banks. So only even people who have very, very small sums of money inside we're talking about over 1 million bank accounts, even for those who have more than one account, but we're talking about more than 1 million people. people. If you want to come and protect or call for the rights of those people, then we will be the ones who are launching an assault on the banking sector, or is it the bank that's launching an assault on the people? This is one angle. The third angle is that when we have a crisis, an economic, monetary, and currency crisis, even in the government in the past, on the table of the cabinet, we used to call for this issue, that the banks and the banking sector have to help and assist the government. They have so many gains and so much money in gains, and they are the ones who have mostly benefited from the economic policies from 1982 until now, and up until now, they have not even taken one single step to safeguard and help this country and help the economy of this country, which they live by, which is their home country. Here, if we're talking about $6 million, there was a $6 million assistance from some banks inside Lebanon. Isn't this a shame that we have such an amount only to help American, to help Lebanon and help the country? First of all, we don't want them to be more aggressive than the U.S. in its policies. Number two, we want them to work on certain steps to give people their right and not to humiliate the people. Three, it is your job to also extend a hand of assistance to your government, to your country, and this is good for your own, for your own sake. This is for your own good and for your benefit and the interest, your interest and the interest of the country. Of course, there are other ideas that we can talk about if we do not agree on this issue, that perhaps the government could come and take and enforce certain taxes on these banks. We're not talking about people who have a certain trade or businesses who have worked so hard in order to bring in their money to the country, or whether they have hard work in the industry. We're talking specifically about those people who did nothing and took the money of the people and gave it to the gave loans to the country with very high interest rates. This is something that we can talk about legally, and we can even talk about religiously, but this is a door that will be open. And from these specific angles that I spoke about, we come to face the banking sector. But do we want to control it? This is not our world. This is not something that we want. This is not something that we've ever thought about. And those who know us, and we tell you, we are an Islamic movement. We are people who are religiously, who are practicing Muslims. And all this issue related to interest, these are issues that are in some cases prohibited by religion. So this is something that we stay away from. And from all the last few decades that we've been working, we had we have our own television, we have our radio, we have so many associations, but we never opened a bank inside Lebanon, because this has its own complications in Islam itself. So me, as Hezbollah, as a movement, I do not even open my own bank. And how can I go and say I want to control the other banks in Lebanon? But we also want the benefit and we want the interest of the country. And therefore, we tell them that if Hezbollah wants to come and control the banks, let's say that Hezbollah wants to come and put its hands on the banking sector, this is not to our interest. This is not for the interest of the economy in Lebanon. This is not for the interest of industry and tourism inside Lebanon, because we are in a face-off with U.S. hegemony in the country, and this would have its own repercussions and its own complications. So therefore, any sort of words or talk about the fact that Hezbollah wants to take control or to take down the banking sector is really foolish and is baseless and is something that is not true. We are hurt by these groups, by this sector, and I spoke about them in detail in these three angles, and these are rights for the people inside Lebanon. If you come and you go and you launch a survey, from the people inside Lebanon, I'm sure that everyone would be with this position. And therefore, some of those who have an interest in the banks, who have been who have their benefits from these banks, then therefore they should not launch aggressions. They should not insult anyone. They should stand with the people. They should stand with those who are oppressed. They should stand with those who do not have their rights and do not have their funds or their money. Even the head of the central bank or the central bank itself, that some people accused us that we want to take control of the central bank. This is absolutely also baseless lies, and we do not think about this. Is not even the interest in the interest of the country. So if you want any evidence, when we have some certain talks or discussions, there is unfortunately the talk, the sectarian talk, that this position is taken by a Maronite Christian, this position is taken by a Shiite, this position is taken by a Muslim a Sunni or a Muslim Shiite. So if we come, we spoke before with the Speaker of the Parliament, he said that perhaps we have the first deputy of the central bank governor, that we say, we come and we tell them, we want to name this deputy, the first deputy of the government. No, this is something we will not do. Perhaps the cabinet will, or the parliament, but this is, we did not work in such a way. We did not come and say, we want to name the person, we want to choose who will be in this position. There is, of course, a certain government, but the fact that they come and they accuse us of such accusations that we want to take control of the central bank, this is absolutely baseless and is not true. The fourth issue in the economic crisis that we have is the currency crisis that we have, the fact that we have some of the exchange companies that have been closed down, have been shut, and others have been allowed to work. First, Hezbollah has absolutely no transfer associations, currency associations that they work with. We don't sell dollars and give dollars. And if we have some money, we just go and we use them. We are always customers with the transfer associations, but we do not bear this responsibility, and we do not ask for anyone, any of the members or officials from Hezbollah, to work in this sector. As you have, for example, we have doctors, we have engineers who are supporters of Hezbollah. Perhaps there could be supporters of Hezbollah that work in this field, that buy and sell lira for dollars or dollars for lira. So this is their own personal business that they're working with. But we do not have someone who officially works in this sector. For all those who are in the exchange sector, we call on them to always work based on the law, that they do not violate the Lebanese law in this regard. We also call on them, especially those who say they are practicing Muslims, they are religious, that they also bear in mind the religious duty in this issue, because there are some certain traps or complexities that where there is riba, where they take interest, in the unlawful interest, and it's not right, and that they are also concerned about the interests of the people, and that they do not raise the level or the price of the dollar and be as greedy as some merchants or some businessmen, and to bear in mind the benefits of the people, not to oppress the people and do something unlawful. We, of course, are saying also that we will not cover anyone who violates the law, and anything that is being said in the media is also baseless. Anybody can come and talk, whether in social media or in the media itself. Everyone could come and just write anything and accuse us of anything. Even lately, we heard that there are certain exchange companies that have called on Hezbollah, that were doing something that is unlawful, and the government called on Hezbollah to give in these people, and Hezbollah refused. I just heard about this in some of the social networks, and this is not true. We were not asked, nobody has asked us to give in anyone, and not from us or not from anyone else. If the government sees that there is someone who works in the sector and is violating the law, then they should come and either close their shop or take them in. We are not covering anyone, and we will not cover anyone. The last point that we have in this context is also another foolish accusation. I'm sorry that I'm wasting your time with all this foolishness, but there is an accusation against Hezbollah. Why doesn't the central bank put dollars in the market? Why? Because this is something that we actually heard. This is not ridiculous. The accusation is ridiculous. But they're saying that the Americans, the U.S. is concerned that with the when we have new dollars in the market, whether from Hezbollah or from the others, Hezbollah is coming and taking these dollars and taking them to Iran. Listen to this accusation. This is a funny, ridiculous accusation, or they're taking the dollars to Syria. Dear brothers, we are not collecting U.S. dollars. We are not taking U.S. dollars to Syria. We are not taking U.S. dollars to Iran. Go ask those exchange companies. Go ask the central bank. The head of the central bank knows that we are the ones who bring U.S. dollars to the country, and we don't take U.S. dollars from the country, because I don't want to talk more about this, because this is baseless. But in any case, anything that has been said, whether in the exchange sector or taking U.S. dollars from the country, taking it to Iran, or accusing Hezbollah, because they want to put all the blame on Hezbollah, put the blame of the high price of the dollar inside Lebanon on Hezbollah. But on the contrary, and one certain issue is that our positive assistance that we might have is that we are trying to let the U.S. dollar not to be too high or higher than it is right now. The last point that I want to say in the economic issue and social issue, the exaggerated high prices. Some people are saying this has to do with the high price of the dollar, U.S. dollar, in the face of the Lebanese lira. This is only one detail, and this is something we need to fix, and the government is responsible. They need to find a solution for the price of the U.S. dollar, whether with certain procedures or measures, whether in coordination with the central bank and with the exchange rate of the businesses. But the exaggerated prices have another reason. We have, for example, how we have some merchants are taking some products and hiding them in order for them just to sell it with higher prices later on. You might come into a supermarket and they tell you that you cannot buy more than one item, or you cannot buy this item or that item. They refuse to sell you what you need. There is certain greed, of course, from these businesses in order to have really high gains. Another reason is that there is a lack of some of the products that we or necessities for people, and therefore when there is more people that are not asking for this, there would be, of course, higher prices. And there isn't a clear follow-up of these prices and to hold these people accountable for really raising the prices in an exaggerated manner. It's an issue. This is your responsibility. We're telling the government today that this is your responsibility. You should deal with this situation as if it is a unique and critical situation. It's not only the duty of the Ministry of Economy, because the ministry alone cannot work and solve on this issue. But we know that the burden is much bigger than the Ministry of Economy itself. Like the issue of the corona virus, it is much larger than the Ministry of Public Health. So therefore, this issue itself is also larger than the Ministry of Economy. So therefore, I call on the cabinet as a whole to work on a certain urgent plan or emergency plan in order to solve this issue, the issue of really exaggerating inflated prices. And we want to wait for certain projects. We want to wait for the economic plan. No, we cannot wait for this. We need to try to face this monopoly of the certain businesses, and we need to also come and see the stockpiles of these businesses. Are they putting away items in order to sell them later for higher prices, or are they just putting prices without standards or specific issues? Perhaps I want to come and say that there is a certain amount of these items. You cannot buy all the items. Okay, we can probably agree on monitoring this issue or coordinating it or fixing it in a certain way that could be is fixed. So what the most important thing is monitoring. Perhaps the Ministry of Economy would come and say that I do not have enough people to follow this issue up. So we have three main opinions. We have also workers, laborers who are in the government that are sitting at home right now. They're not working. So bring them in. Train them, teach them how to go and monitor these issues, take them down to the stores, take them on the field to try to fix this issue and help us. We also have university students who are willing to volunteer, or even some citizens that are willing to volunteer. One of the main points, positive points for the Ministry of Public Health that helped it succeed is that they opened the door of volunteering. We have a lot of people that are actually volunteering right now that are not being paid by the Ministry of Public Health in order to help out with the issue of the coronavirus. So if you want volunteers, we are ready. As Hezbollah, you want 1,000 people? You want 2,000 people? You want 10,000 people? Here you go. Here I'm telling the Prime Minister, I'm telling the Minister of the Economy, we are ready to volunteer. And you also have thousands of workers who are not working right now. So there is absolutely no excuse in order for the Ministry of Economy or the Cabinet to be serious in dealing with this issue and fixing it. So this is the responsibility, of course, of the Cabinet. We are not bearing the responsibility, but we are coming here to call on people, to advise those businesses not to be greedy. There are, of course, a lot of businesses that are good people. They're trying to make sure that they provide the items and all the products for the people that they need, and they're not just trying to take very high profits. They're just trying to work on things based on their conscience and to sell them with good prices. But for us, we can come and say what we call on, what ethics is, but of course it is the Cabinet that has to take these procedures and these measures and has to follow up this issue very, very closely. And this is an issue that we cannot bear anymore. Even the rich people, I don't want to say the rich people, but at least those who have a luxury to the extent that are not in a state of starvation and do not care about the high prices, they do not feel that this is a burden, that this is a real economic crisis. But this is a crisis we want to tell. And this has to be a priority right now in the work of the Cabinet and the assigned ministries. The last point when it comes to the economic issue is the anti-corruption plan. In May, 2 years ago, in the campaign, in our electoral campaign, we said that we will have a new project, or we have a new plan, which is mainly fighting corruption, and we have a specific file to fight corruption. We have somebody who is responsible for this case and this issue, and we have a committee on this in this regard. And with all the problems that we're facing, whether the legal issues and the political bickering in the country, there is one thing that has been done in this regard, because we believe that this is a battle. This is a very decisive and significant battle for its, for the country, for its present, for its future. But in detail, what has been done in the last 2 years? What are the results that we've accomplished? Very transparently, I want to leave this for our Member of Parliament, Mr. Hassan Fadlallah. He will be talking about this soon, whether Thursday or Friday. He will talk about this in detail. He will give details about what Hezbollah has been doing in this case, how they've been fighting corruption, because our responsibility to after 2 years, and people have been asking, what did you do with this file? What did you do with the anti-corruption case? Where are we going right now? This, of course, will be said in given detail in the in a press conference for Member of Parliament Hassan Fadlallah. Another final issue that I want to say, want to talk about, that has to do also with our country and the crises in our country. I also want to call on the parliamentary blocs, the political parties, all the people. I want to ask them to give the cabinet more time. You've heard recently how some people said, we've given it 100 days, and that's it. This is done. This is a curfew. We've given it a deadline of 100 days. We tell them, dear brothers, with all this corruption that we have, with all these crises, with all this bickering and all this destruction in our country, what cabinet can come and fix things in 100 days? It would require a miracle. This is not logical. And now the time is not, if it's not cooperation, consider it a neutrality. Be neutral at least. They did a project. They did a plan to face the coronavirus. Now they've also launched a plan for the economic crisis. And therefore, you need to give it a chance and you need to let it work. And even in the atmosphere that we saw in the last week or two as a result of the visit of the U.S. ambassador in Lebanon and some stances, it perhaps led some people to have certain stances. And some people said that we are going to a new political face-off and they are beginning to take down the government. The things that we heard just last night, yesterday or days before from some of the political officials in the country. No, what we know is the atmosphere is not as such. This is not what we're getting, from the media and from some of the interviews that we heard from some political officials. This is not the main intention. That the atmosphere as a whole from most political groups is that they are giving a chance to this cabinet, and this is what we're calling on. If there is a possibility for cooperation, it would be very good. But if you don't want to cooperate, at least give this cabinet the opportunity to work and give it time in order to give it a chance to see if it's going to be able to work or not. Another issue that I want to talk about on the concerning the general atmosphere in the country. They say that perhaps there is a certain confrontation between Hezbollah and the Amal movement. There are no differences, actually. We don't have any rifts between us as leadership, between Hezbollah and the Amal movement. But there are some people that come and say that, no, there are differences, and they're going to work on them, and they're going to add things in on social media and talk about this incident or that incident. And this is what we want to talk about right now with the Hezbollah leadership, especially concerning our ties with the Amal movement, with all our allies. Actually, we are very much concerned and very sensitive when it comes to talk about the alliance or Hezbollah's allies. For me specifically, I believe or I highly regard the significance of the alliance between Hezbollah and the Amal movement. I want to tell you that we are in daily contact contact. We discuss things. We negotiate issues. We coordinate and cooperate on a daily basis. And I don't want to add to what Speaker Nabih Berri has also said on the issue of the ties between Hezbollah and the Amrat movement. And I also say that I agree to every single word that was said by Speaker Berri, even in foreign issues, whether outside Lebanon or inside Lebanon. Their main aim is to find anything in order to make and create a rift between Hezbollah and the Amal movement. But I tell them, you should rest assured, because this will not happen. You are disillusioned, then this will not happen. There will not be a rift between the Amal movement and Hezbollah, but these supporters have to help us. We cannot have a supporter here on social media who launches an attack, a verbal attack on the other side, and the other side responds, and we have a certain war of rhetoric on the social media. But no, actually, all, even Hezbollah and Amal movement officials, talk to each other with respect and love and friendship. So we come and see in social media. On social media, we see how some people are creating this rift. But I want to say that, of course, for us as our supporters or very close supporters, or, they have nothing to do with this. Some people, they come and they say that they are our supporters and they do this, but they are hurting us in the at the same time. So they need to understand, as Speaker Berri said, the ties between Hezbollah and the Amal movement is to the interest of both these sides, but it's also a national interest. It's also an interest for Lebanon. It's an interest for the entire country and for those who go into these rifts and to these issues and make things problematic, do not care or are not concerned about national interests and the interests of the country. So our supporters should know and they should understand. And we've been talking about this for years, whether with our brothers in the Amal movement and even our other allies, all the movements and allies, because we had some similar circumstances or incidents with other groups. But no, this doesn't mean that we're going to be in agreement 100%. But anything that we disagree on, we discuss it very positively. I just want to give one example. For example, in the last meeting for the parliament, the Lebanese parliament, there was one project that was discussed. It was discussed with the committees and was brought to the parliamentary blocks, parliament, which is to the planting of marijuana. So we, for some people, are coming and say, why should we discuss it? We came to see, for our friends in the Amal movement took their time in discussing it, and they said they considered that there is a positive issue in planting these plants. For us, we also held our consultations, we got some expert advice, and we discussed things, and that we could use it for medical purposes. Even for us, we discussed this, and we came to a conclusion that there are no positive tests. It should not be used and should not be planted. And we came to the parliament, they had their own views, they were with the law, but we were against the law. We have our own opinion, and they have their own opinion. Then we went to the parliament and we saw that most of the members of parliament, even our allies, they had the same opinion as the Amal movement. They are with the project. We were the ones who opposed, and there were some other members of parliament, very few members of parliament, who disagreed with this law. So what is the problem? There is no problem. If it's going to be ratified by the parliament, we have to go ahead with it. Some people came and to use this issue to say that there is a rift between Hezbollah and the Amal movement. We come and say that when we come to execute this law, if there is a benefit to it, that perhaps for those people who are planting it in order to be used for medical purposes, then why not? But if there was no problem, then we come and we tell them, you see, we were right. There has to be an association. There has to be a certain management for it, and this will be just spending a lot of money. So even such a law, we dealt with it very calmly, even if we were against it. I want to tell you another, give you another example. As a result of this issue, this is something that resulted from these discussions. For example, did you know that at the end, the parliament has, as some people have said, that they will be legalizing the planting of marijuana for medical purposes. The media, whether in the Persian Gulf countries or in other countries, but if you, but do you, did you know, just as a joke, that had we agreed to this law, that even media in Lebanon or in the Persian Gulf Arab states or in the U.S., they would put in their headlines that it is Hezbollah who legalized marijuana in Lebanon, that legalized drugs in Lebanon. They would just consider it drugs. They would consider us being at the forefront of legalizing drugs inside the country. This is what they would say. They would say that as a result of the sanctions, as a result of all this, it is Hezbollah that wanted this law, that they wanted to, they protected this law, they were with this law. Wouldn't this have happened? It would have happened. But we were, of course, against this this law. We didn't come and say we're totally against this law. We told them in the parliament that what is the benefit of having such a law? Does it benefit the country or not? This is all. This is just one example, but there are other examples that I tell you that we will be differing on various other topics or issues, but we will very calmly discuss things and talk about them. And if we don't reach a certain solution, then this shouldn't be an issue that will cause a rift or cause any sort of problems between us. This is something that we are completely concerned about, this strong alliance between Hezbollah and the Amal movement. The last point in my speech, the last issue that I want to talk about is also in what's happening in the country right now. There are certain crises that we see between certain political groups in more than one area and more than one political group or political faction that have their differences and they have their problems, or between two different factions. Some people are saying Hezbollah has Israel is to blame for this. If we have two different parliamentary blocs or two political factions, they are in disagreement with each other. What does Hezbollah have to do with this? And they always say and accuse, and they say if Hezbollah wasn't supporting this side, then there wouldn't be a problem. Or it's always Hezbollah to blame. We want to tell you, we never provoke one side against another side. And everything that has been said against us, that we want to change the system in Lebanon, that we want to change the face of Lebanon, and everybody knows, even those who accuse us of this, they know that this is not true. They know that there are those groups are fighting over only profit, they're fighting over gains, or they're fighting over certain authority in this area or that area. So we have nothing to do with any sort of problem between two groups or other political factions. On the contrary, it is our concern that there is no there are no problems in the country, that there is positivity, a positive atmosphere in the country, that everybody's open to everybody, that we coordinate and cooperate, not just on the issue of COVID-19, also the economic crisis that is engulfing all of us and engulfing the entire country. So we're calling for calmness between all the bilateral ties, between all the political factions. And I don't just say that we are not to blame in any sort of problems, but I want to say if we are also able, perhaps in some cases we're not able to, but I want to tell you today in the holy month of Ramadan, which is the month of mercy, a month of ties, a month of cooperation, brotherly ties, we are ready Wherever there is a problem between two factions or certain areas where it's tense or there's a tense atmosphere in certain area, and we can fix or help in fixing this issue, then we are ready to give the assistance, whether as allies or brothers, or even if there is rivalry between us and those groups, we also are citizens of the same country. And we are also ready to help, and we can probably diffuse this tension that is found in certain areas between groups or people. So therefore, we are ready to help whenever we can. And I want to say and tell everyone that the country needs calmness right now. It needs us to be calm. It needs us to cooperate. It needs us to be in solidarity, especially since I don't want to say that there are things that perhaps the foreign countries want to not help Lebanon. I think that, no, because there are some countries, because of the coronavirus and because of the oil prices and what has happened in this sector, there are countries that will be living their own economic crises, and that therefore they probably need assistance just like Lebanon. So therefore, we cannot really bargain on the fact that foreign sides can help us, but in light of these bickering that we have inside Lebanon, we cannot solve and salvage the crisis and salvage the country. But what we need is that we need open minds and hearts and work together. And I want to thank you all, and peace be upon you.
Well, that was Hassan Nasrallah talking there, Hezbollah Secretary General. And basically some of the highlights of what he has said. He talked about the labeling by Germany of Hezbollah organization a terrorist entity, and saying that that was a move that was unfounded. And it was the basis of allegation or accusation that has been now formalized by Germany. He said that there was no reason for Germany to have done that. Basically, he said the U.S. has a project of hegemony in the region along with Israel, and that this decision is succumbing to the diktats of the U.S. and Israel in turn. No explanation that was really anything that Hezbollah could understand was given by Germany, because he said, where in Germany does Hezbollah have terrorist activities? He also said that the military wing and a civilian wing is something that needs to be distinguished when it comes to Hezbollah, and that some countries differentiate between the two. And again, overall, he said that this decision by both was succumbing to the U.S. Perhaps he said there are personal motives behind it, but he said maybe it's against the Lebanese people who are in Germany. He also talked about some of the domestic issues, which involves the economy, and in particular how the banking sector has been slammed in terms of the way that it has exercised the different banking regulations, which has led to the downfall of the economy. The accusations leveled against Hezbollah regarding any interference that it may have in the banking sector and the economy as a whole, he said that that was something that is unfounded. Hezbollah does not want anything from the banking center. Let's talk about this with Laith Maarouf, who's an activist and political commentator. So the speech there by Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah basically first started about the German labeling of Hezbollah as a terrorist organization, in which Hezbollah said he doesn't quite understand what Hezbollah has done in Germany, but saying that Germany is succumbing to the U.S. and in turn Israel. What are your views about how Hezbollah expressed the matter in the speech?
I mean, Sayyid Nasrallah is always very perfect in his wording. He mentioned that it's clear that Germany is a vessel for the United States. It follows the orders that come from the empire for the role that it should play. And he went further and used very metaphorical words when he said, you know, we know in history, throughout history, whenever anybody wanted to get close to those in power, the dictators, they would offer the heads of prophets and sages as a sacrifice to be approved by the emperors. And this is exactly what's happening right now. Germany provided the this labeling of the resistance in Lebanon as a way to get closer to the imperial powers that control them.
Well, the accusation by Germany, I think that would be the second European country after the UK that did the same last year. So is the U.S. trying to build a momentum, if that is the track that they are on, to round up countries against Hezbollah to then, whatever ultimate goal they may have, which is something maybe you can tell us. But are they trying to gather popular support against Hezbollah this way?
You know, all they are trying to do, these countries, is actually stop people from publicly supporting Hezbollah. Because as Sayyid Nasrallah informed us, it's been at least a decade that Hezbollah has taken the political decision not to have any organized representation or groups in any Western country. And that is not only because they knew that this would only get people in a bad situation in those countries, but also because they don't need to be active in those countries in an organized, official manner. So this actual moves are all propaganda, and it's specifically to instill fear in the Lebanese populations, but also all the Arab and Muslim populations and those who are progressive in the West that support the resistance of Hezbollah and the liberation of Palestine and the Arabic world from imperial control. This is just that. It is only to harass and make the populations in the West abide by the imperial orders. It's not going to harm Hezbollah in any way, shape, or form directly.
And finally, you know, when you take a look at the report card of Hezbollah, I think the U.S. and its allies have taken the road which led to failure, and that is how they imposed this a war on Syria, in which they supported the Daesh terrorists, and Hezbollah was dragged into that. So, if they want to take the military route, Hezbollah withstood that and achieved its goal and was able to defeat them. These are terrorist groups that, one way or another, were either supported directly or indirectly by the U.S., Saudi Arabia, and some of its other allies. So again, the end game here by the U.S. And other countries like Germany is not very clear when it comes to Hezbollah, which is part of the Lebanese government anyways in terms of its presence there.
Yeah, I mean, you could see this happening for the last 10, 15 years, this attempt to corner Hezbollah, to cut it off from the rest of the world and from its natural, population that supports it, the Arab and Muslim population mainly. And, you know, this is why the war on Syria was one of the main reasons for it, obviously, of course, to bring down the Syrian government that is pro-resistance and pro-liberation, but also to cut the supply route for Hezbollah. And they have failed in that. They failed in 2006 when they went with a direct war on Lebanon and Hezbollah, when the Israelis attempted to invade. They failed right now with the war, the 10-year war on Syria. And there is no option for them but to probably go to war in Iran. And obviously, Iran has shown in the last couple of months with the retaliation to any provocations and the assassination of General Soleimani and al-Muhandis of the PMU, that Iran is not even, if they thought it was easy to attack Lebanon in 2006 or to attack Syria in 2010, and they got taught a lesson, now we know that this is impossible for them to do in Iran. So these are just barkings of a wild dog that is unable to actually deliver a bite. This is literally what is this attack on Hezbollah in Germany and what is expected to come in the rest of the other imperial states.
Thank you very much for that. Laith Maarouf, activist and political commentator. Many thanks.